Well, Klai and Dalid, yesterday we did Zayin and Ches. However, we have not yet done Vav, as I heard from the women's gallery. So we will go back to Vav and then go to Tess. Vav, Keli Shemishtamshim Bay Al Yedei Ur, a Keli that's used directly in the fire. Kugay Machva Shemitagnim Bay, such as a frying pan or a grill. Loi mahani hagala. It doesn't help to kasher in hot water. The mashabala de or einoi maflit al yede hagala. Because we have the concept that if something goes in through fire, not through water, it doesn't come out through water.
Right?
Well, not exactly. Kabbalah kapalta is true, but that's not this rule. See, this rule is, Kabbalah Kapalta is we do Hagala with water. Things that go in with heat alone, there is no plita. You have to burn it in its place. Hagala is boiling water. It's 212 degrees or thereabout. When you burn something, you have to burn it. There's something called Libun Kal and Libun Chomer. Now it's very interesting. Libun Kal is a libon at the heat at which straw would burn spontaneously just from the heat, which is somewhere in the 420 degree range, which everyone butchers the temperature where the paper burns spontaneously. So, what was the name of the book? 451, yeah, okay. So 451 is where paper burns spontaneously. So we assume it's in the 450 degree range, which most ovens do reach. All ovens are supposed to reach 450 degrees. So when you need Libun Kal, you can do it in a regular oven. Libun Chomer is the heat that Nitzaitis Nitzin, that metal glows. The metal glows at a much higher temperature. I'm not sure exactly what the temperature is. I once tried it. I have at home, or had at home, an oven with a window. So I bought, now our metal is not, is compressed metal, so it's not adequate for this type of testing. It's not gonna glow. So I bought a piece of cast iron. I went into a plumbing supply store and I asked for a cast iron pipe. They asked me what size. I said it doesn't matter. So I thought it was very funny. But anyway, I bought a cast iron pipe. Put it in near the window of a self-cleaning oven. And I watched it, like every 15 minutes I came back, you know, to look at it, see if it was glowing. And to my disappointment, it didn't glow. Which means that self-cleaning should not be good enough for Libun Chomer, for a proper Libun. They say, Yeshua Hashem Keheraf Ayin. So I'll tell you what happened. In Halacha, it says if it glows, or if after you put it at that heat, when you take it out, you see a layer of ash on it. If it burns off a layer of the surface, that's also good. And that's what happened. After the whole thing cooled down, I took out the cast iron pipe. It was covered with a layer of ash, which I assume is what Chazal were talking about, which would make a self-cleaning oven. Self-cleaning ovens reach between 750 and 800 degrees. People say high in numbers, but we tested it. They're basically in that range, to 750, maybe some reach 850. So apparently that's adequate. They have self-cleaning, commercial ovens. I don't know if they have self-cleaning. What? Some maybe. Not usually, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it could be higher ones. But anyway, Cecily called Libun Chomer. Now, when do you use Libun Kal? When do you use Libun Chomer? So the rule is, anything that really needs Libun, you need a Libun Chomer. You need a real Libun. It's not enough just heat it the same heat that it became also with. You have to burn it out. However, Libun Kal helps in two instances. One is Hetera Bala, when the Bliya that went in was Heter, which means Fleishiks went in, you want to burn out the Fleishiks, or Milchik went in, you want to burn out the Milchiks. Chametz actually is only good for before Pesach, not on Pesach. But so Libun Kal is adequate. The second place that Libun Kal is adequate is anything that needs Hagala. Certain things need Hagala, but you just can't do it. It's just too big. You don't have another panel which you could fit it into. So to do a hagolah on that, you can put it into an oven and turn up the oven to 450 degrees and rely on that, that level of heat. And that does the trick.
Anything
so, if it needs a real libon, like in a grill, they need libon chomer, you need the full heat. Okay. Oh, that's interesting, because there you can do even ben yamo. Because normally by Hagolo, we said you have to wait 24 hours till you kasher. And the reason for that is, the blia, which is still fresh, goes into the water, and it goes right back into the pot. But by libun, which doesn't cause it to come out, it just burns it in its place, so libun doesn't require any ben yamo. On Pesach itself, you can do libun, you can't do Hagolo. You do Hagolah, and the Bliya asks the water that you're doing Hagolah. Pre-Pesach, you can do Hagolah. But on Pesach, when it's Isser, you can't do Hagolah. You only can do Libun.
I know on Pesach, before Pesach, a lot of people kasher the granite countertops without water.
Well, those who kasher granite countertops, it's because the bli only goes in through pouring. The granite is never placed into a pot of hot water. The granite is a surface, and anything that made it osir was poured onto it. So there are people that are kashering granite. It's not really clear what the status of granite is for the following reason. A slab of granite, which is a granite countertop, says a Shulchan Aruch, it's Evan, Kli Evan, you could do Hagolah on. There's no Shiloh. The question here is, because they do treat the granite by smearing it with a silicon liquid. So, we have Chalukei Deis. I had when Tuvia Weber moved into his house 20 years ago, 15 years ago. So his guy gave me a piece of paper that there's nothing on it. It's just plain pure granite. He gave me a letter from his contractor. At that time, Jerry Pasternak, Olva Shalom, was doing his kitchen. And he brought me a Canada stuff. He says, what are you talking about? They're smearing this on top of it. And the other guy says, oh, where's off? I said, where's off? Why are you smearing it? Like, so I don't know the answer. I don't know what whether like silicon is a synthetic. What?
It seems that people are mocking.
Yeah. Silicon is a synthetic. If it's a coating, then it's a problem. I don't know. I don't know how else you treat it. There is another issue at the seams of the granite countertops. They put in ground. I assume it's granite, but it's ground. Depending on how the ground granite, if it's just pure ground granite, it shouldn't be a problem. But depending on whether they put other things in, they have to put some type of epoxy to hold it together, and that would make a problem. So there you could put tape over the seam. So I'm not sure. So I went to someone's house, the granite countertop. I felt over the bend of the granite underneath. And it seemed to me that it was rougher. In other words, that they did treat it with something, and underneath, where they didn't treat it, it was rougher. But then the one of the contractors said, no, they just polished the granite. They don't polish the underneath. So there goes my raya. So I'm still very confused as to the status of granite.
When I did my granite countertop, I used somebody who David Jacobson recommended. He said it's not a coating, it's a sealant, so that it prevents leaves actually.
So what's a sealant if not a coating? See, that's the question. That's very confusing. It means it's not a coating, you can't peel it off. But being a sealant, well, what does a sealant do? Doesn't it go into the holes or the pores of the... So then should be a problem, because then the sealant itself gets bleas, right? It absorbs melech, and the sealant itself could become melech, it could fly, it could come and stick. And then that's where the question comes up. I'm not clear about what the scientific difference in a sealant and a coating is. It's not a coating like Teflon is a coating. But to me, it's a very confusing issue. So anyway, getting back to Vav, Vimu Klisha Nesar Mi Isser Tzorach Libun Kol Kach. If it's something that became also through heat directly, it has to be heated so much as she nitzaitzis distami beru, until sparks fly, until it shines a little. Aber b'chol v'lebasar, this I mentioned a moment ago, by a terabala, kima de terabala, sagi b'libud kal, at sh'yisraif olof kashma b'chutz. Until straw would burn if you touched the outside of this keli. V'kli sh'chshere ayyede libun. And a keli that you do kasha through libun, afo b'yish b'guma istokim ay chaluda eidei mazik. Even if it has cracks in which Ben could go, or chaluda, which is rust, ain't a mazik sheish sayref hakol. Ubediyevet bevsim ruba yeshus vachal apayichskim. Bediyevet you can rely bevsim ruba those poskim demachvas leidikre tashvishi al yedei or that a frying pan is not called something that needs libun gomer. Vishaloilam lachluchis shamnu nisham. You always have some oil or fat that's there, but like mikudatrishi adior, according to this sheet, that's not called tashrish through directly through fry rakshpudim, vaskalois, rakshpudim, rakspitz, vaskalois, shetzalim by your grills, the koshke and tana are certainly in of itself, it's sarachian. The sarachian is on this, these paiskim will hold that since a frying pan has an emtsois of a liquid of the fats that melt, or the oil that melts, that therefore it's more kal. He remains with a sarachian. Again, Rabbi Kiva Eger, I mentioned once, says, if the oil is kosher oil, then it's not a problem. It's an emtsoi. Even though it becomes treif in the process, it becomes a nas nevela. But if it's treif oil, if the oil itself is treif, then we require a libun gomer.
If it's kosher oil, even though it was
treif of meat, let's say. That's what he says. He says to rely on it only by Meruba. Rabbi Kiva Eger says to rely on it directly. I guess it depends how hard it is. Rabbi Kiva Eger says it can be mekel straight. He says Bepsi Meruba. Did he ever Bepsi Meruba? I don't know. At the time that there was some question as to whether the farberware was made treif by the polishing process. So I unscrewed the handles on my farberware pots and I stuck them into the self-cleaning oven, to kasha them with libun gomer. It didn't matter, it wasn't mazik them, it changed the color slightly, but since we put in the whole set, it matched. So it didn't, it made it a little more, a tinge of, instead of being pure silver, it gave it a tinge of gold or copper, to it. But the food tasted just as good. It didn't, okay. Now we skip to tests. Kalev Shetashvishim B'tzayin, and you realize that 30 days before Pesach, so we're learning Hilchas Hagolah, which is in Yonai Shel Yayim. Kalev Shetashvishim B'tzayin, people ask about glasses. Some that you use only cold. It doesn't have to be a glass. Im yesh locha shechabu bo yayin, if there's a chash, they heated wine in it. They heat wine? Do we have heating wine? I got an email tonight, I was delighted, from Moshe Michuka, my good friend Edgar, the Mashkia for the OU. He tells, it's funny, he sends me an email, it says I'm flying over Russia now on my way to Hong Kong. So he had come from the Dominican Republic. He said in the Dominican Republic, he was in a room meeting with, I guess, people who wanted to ash or something. So before they drank the scotch or the rum, they poured some on the floor in honor of the angels. So yes, we did that make it us a bahanah. It was kosher rum. I told them, yeah, it's nice to know that Chazal weren't dreaming. There are actually people who just pour it in honor of their avodah zarah. An amazing
one
thing.
Second, that's so, that they poured. But yeah. This was the whole wine they didn't.
No, they poured some l'shem v'dezar, and then the rest they drink. That's their the whole thing. No, the whole thing becomes yes. They were using rum. It's interesting. It's not wine. They did it, but it still becomes also b'na. See, wine, even if we don't know they did it, with chayshish they did it. But if you see them do it, even with the coke, it also becomes
any type of drink.
Yeah, that's called takruvis v'dezar. Right. Takruvis, Tashmishay, and Noi, right. And then Avodah itself. It's excellent. Okay. Yeah, it's good. Anyway, why do I mention it? Because he talks here about heating up wine. I don't know anybody who eats up wine, but there must be someone. A Shemal Chubay, or things were salted. I got you all excited.
Because I don't drink whiskey, so it doesn't really matter. I'm saying, if you see they spilled wine, I feel that the whiskey that they spilled before, that's a bada asa, frozen something, it's a bada asa. But isn't that the thing that's asa? But not what's stayed in the bottle, because it's in the bottle. It's not a
vaydesar. We're not makel when we know it's a vaydesar.
What?
It's a nitzuk. It's a connection of a nitzuk. The whole thing is us. If a guy pours the whole bottle, it's us. If a guy, we don't know he's doing l'shem avaydesar, then what remains in the bottle is not us. But he does l'shem avaydesar, I don't think there's any question. I think so. We can check it. We can double check it.
This is shalom.
Oh, he would love it, yeah.
What?
He would love it.
Okay,
anyway. He's talking about heating wine, or you salted something in it. I think we mentioned yesterday this din. If you left it there 24 hours, you go to a flea market and you buy a table or a cabinet. The minig is to do agala. Shema nishpuchu aleihem chamin. In case the guy had this was at his table. Now you don't eat off the table, but it happens sometimes. The guy has something hot, and it spilled out onto the table. But naygin lahashir hashulchanais al yidei irui. The custom is, like you said about counters, to kasha tables through irui. Mekamaki b'di'evet ein lachush b'di'evet ein lachush ve'en lekamam b'di'rashiklayay. B'di'evet, we're not afraid. You go to work and you eat at a table. We don't eat food off the table, so we're makel. If food accidentally fell on the table, so we assume it's an Eidah Ben Yoimai, certainly from Treifus, and it could be makel. Yud. Tanur Akira Sheneser Ali De Isser. An oven, or a stove, that became Osir through an Isser. Tzarch Lalabna, Ashi Nitzaitis Ditzamimenu. It needs a full, that's what we need, a self-cleaning oven. And that's why the coals have to cover it. Since it went in through the heat of hot coals, it comes out that way. So it's interesting. I watched Rebelsky once. I went with him to do Libon on a non-self-cleaning oven. He did not fill it up with gecholim. Even though here it says you have to fill it up with gecholim. When something is open to the air, you don't know how hot it gets. When you have a closed oven and you put in some coals, it gets very hot. And since you know how hot it gets, it's not the gecholim that does it, it's the heat. And therefore he was makel. He put a handful of coals on the bottom of it. And he said, what's the trick? The trick with doing hagol libun on an oven in a house, well, you have to pull out the thermostat. That's the first thing. So otherwise it destroys it. Every oven has a thermostat either hanging or pinned to the back, and it can be pulled out through the top. Pulling out is very easy. Getting it back in is hard.
You always have to move but, the
what? You always ruin the thermostats.
The thermostats. The
thermostats, okay. And then you put in the coal. You turn on the oven. And once the coal ignites, you can shut off the oven. You're wasting your gas because it's hotter. And what happens initially is it starts to smoke, sometimes pretty heavily. And people panic. Smoking, and that what they do basically is cool it down. They open the door, they do something. As you know, when a fire is very hot, there's no smoke. The particles of carbon get destroyed, or whatever it is that's floating up in the air. If you ever put out a campfire, or you're burning a chametz, you put it out, you get a lot of smoke when you cool it. The trick is to be calm when you see smoke and give it another 2 minutes, and then it gets hotter and the smoke disappears because the particles that are smoke also get destroyed in the fire. And I like to have I like to have a fire extinguisher nearby just for safety. But Baruch Hashem, it works. I mean, my son down the block bought a house with a oven that wasn't self-cleaning, so we did it. Like I said, I had to get out the thermostat is very easy. You pull it out. To get it back through that little hole, it's like 3 or 4 holes. What I did is I took a nail, a heavy nail, tied a string to it, and dropped it through, and then I was able to use that string to snake through the thermostat. It was was a nerve-wracking moment, but it worked.
Before they had self-cleaning ovens, a lot of people used to use blow torches.
Some people use blow torches. The problem with a blow torch is you have to know how to do it. Because you just go with the blow torch back and forth, it's just not quick enough. It's like you can put your finger through a candle. I don't know about a blow torch, but a candle. But if you go quickly, it doesn't heat it up. And to do a blow torch properly, takes a lot of work. It's not even practical because blow torches are made that the fire goes on a fine point. You really need more. We used to use, oven inserts. I don't think they sell them anymore. Remember the oven inserts? Those boxes, tin boxes that you put in. So, never forget. We had a guest. My wife was talking about how the inserts, you can't get the temperature right. You know, you set the oven to whatever temperature and, it's off in the insert. So, there was a lady visiting and she said, "Oh, I forget how to deal with it." "How do you deal with it?" "I just took the door off the insert." So everything was trafe, right? Yeah. At any rate, for Pesach, the inserts, remember those boxes? Insert sounds official, it's just a tin box that we stuck in. And, remember you put the food in, it's how you baked. Anyway. So Tanarai Kiyur Shadesai De Issa Tzarchalab Shetzitzitzitzin. Gavtsar Shiach Gacholab Pnei Kula. You have to put kola on the whole thing. Kibi Shabai De Gacholab Tzarchalab De Gacholab. Vim Safikim Hocha Pnei Kula Yasser Aval. Vim Basel Lacholab. Kibi De Tei Rabola. As we said earlier, when you kashi your milk to Fleishik, Zapi Shein Ama Hachalab Pnei Kula Yimutab Efsim Meruba. Bavad Shiyal Ben Haitim. Just has to get good in head. Now there's a Magen Avraham that says we have a custom not to kashi from milk to Fleishik. And Magen Avraham says we have a custom not to kasha things from milchiks to fleishiks, because you'll forget. You'll buy one spatula, and you use it most of the time for fleishiks. If it's milchiks, you'll kasha it. You get confused, where am I holding? Is it milchiks or fleishiks? So we don't kasha from milchiks to fleishiks. When it comes to ovens, though, it's pretty much accepted that we do. That we do kasha milchiks to fleishiks. That's not a keli that we should have a minig about. And the kashering in many cases is a chumrah, depending on what you're cooking. So I think it's accepted that people generally who have one oven generally use it just for fleishiks. And the milchiks, they double wrap. When it happens that once a year they have a Hanukkah get-together in the family and they need a milchika oven, putting in lasagna or cheese kugels, so they kasher it, if they have self-cleaning, they kasher it and they do it that way. Alright, the houses now, a lot of them have two ovens, so it's not so...
We're calling to the mother of Rome that we don't kasher from... But what if your flesh and knife became militant?
Then it's a bonus, you can switch it. It's true. Magen Avraham says you don't kasher unless the flesh is. You keep on doing it back and forth. If it becomes treif, you have a bonus, because then when you kasher it, you can redesignate it for anything you want.
If it's from the flesh, you can set. You can't use.
Okay, that's a practical point.